This, of course, is the story of Joshua leading the Israelites to cross the Jordan to go into the Promised Land. This wasn't the first time that they'd crossed a river, but they'd been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they're about to cross the Jordan into what they've been looking forward to for many, many years. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you'll know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Don't go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, and for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he'll certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage, all during harvest. Yet, as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away, at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Well, it's obviously a powerful story. Crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land had been a long-term vision for these people. They'd had to wait many years. There'd been a sense of anticipation. There'd be days of blessing in the wilderness, but also days of challenge. And here's the question. God has a vision for us. He wants to take us forward. He wants to take you forward in Stroud as his people into days of future blessing. One of the things that I think many of the leaders of God's people feel at the moment is that whatever has happened over this last year, I mean, obviously it's happened because God is sovereign and he's wanted to shake us all up. He's wanted to shake up non-Christians and Christians alike. But he has wanted to shake up Christians, and he's wanted to sort of build us more solidly together, build our relationships together, press us into Christ like never before, so that we've been rooted in prayer and in his word, and we've all seen those sort of things happen. But there's been a sense for many of us that it's in order to take us into a new phase of his blessing and his harvest and even revival amongst God's people in the nations. So these are not insignificant times as we are thinking of finding God's roadmap into the future and making a sense of vision reality for ourselves. So how do we do this? This story actually contains a number of pointers, which I just want to outline to you. The first is very, very simple. And I think a lot of what I'm going to say today is quite simple. It's just underlining things that we need to remember. What the Israelites were told to do in this story, above everything else, was to follow God's presence. So the Ark of the Covenant was going to go first, and the people were to follow that above everything else. One of the things that, you know, could happen as we come out of lockdown is we all think, oh, isn't this wonderful? We can now just do all sorts of things that we never did before. But if God's people are going to enter into the purposes of God for them, they need to be actually slightly more disciplined than that. It's not just about going out and doing whatever we like we haven't been able to for the last year. It is following God forward into what he has got for us as his people. Those of us who are Christians do not believe that we just live any way we like. We believe that we're here to honor God, bring glory to God, and help God to be known in the earth. That's what we're here for as God's people. In a sense, we're moving into uncharted territory. What do you do when you move out of one era into another, out of things that we knew into things that we don't really know? Well, you follow God's presence. And one of the things God wants us to do as his people is to commit our ways, our actions, our conversations to the Lord in new ways. I hope you found this last 12 months, as actually Lorraine and I have, significantly, that God has directed us into all sorts of conversations that we would never have had apart from this lockdown period. He doesn't want that to stop. God wants that to continue. So there are now new conversations which focus around him. New adventures that he wants us to have of moving in faith with him. We need to understand that as we move out of this phase into another phase, God has a plan for our lives. He has done for this last year, as we have felt our way into how do we live in this lockdown situation. But now it's how do we live the lives that God is calling us to live in the future as God's people. Now, the leaders have been expressing to you a sense of vision and values for SCF to move into. But it's not just a corporate thing. Every individual has to find their way forward in God. And we have to follow God's fingerprints and God's presence. This Ark of the Covenant that they had to follow signified a number of things. It signified God's presence because he was associated with the Ark in a special way. It signified God's covenant because he'd made a covenant with his people. You'll be my people. I'll be your God. I'll walk with you if you walk with me. It indicates God's provision because within the ark, of course, there was Aaron's rod that budded, and that was a sign of fruitfulness. If we follow the presence of God, we live fruitful lives. It signified God's authority because in the Ark of the Covenant were the tablets of stone and the Ten Commandments that were written on them. So it signified following God's word and his authority as well. So we're going to follow God's presence as we move forward. We're asking God to make us very, very sensitive to that, because it's a new day, new options, new openings, new choices, new conversations, fresh things to move into, not just the old things that we used to do, but fresh adventure for God. How do we do that? We follow God's presence. Secondly, we prepare ourselves for God's blessing. Verse 5 of chapter 3 says this: Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Today's preparations lead to God's blessings tomorrow. God wants to take us forward into new things, not back into old things, but forward into new things. And who knows what they're going to look like. One of the things that has been amazing over the last 12 months is how many people have sort of started relationships with God through online alpha or through conversations that have with people. There have been polls in England that tell us that 25% of the population say that they have prayed like they've never prayed before in their lives. Well, isn't that fascinating? Normally about 7% of the population of the UK go to church on Sundays. It tells you that somehow people have been looking for some spiritual reality. Now, those people are still around us. They're still all around us. And one of the things we're going to tap into is a new time of fruitfulness. Many of us believe that prophetically. I was fascinated to hear a story. Lorraine and I were talking to one of our church's leadership teams just about 10 days ago, I think it was. And this was in North America. This was in Canada. And in this church, one lady, well, a couple of ladies have been leading an Alpha Online. And as part of leading this Alpha Online group, there was a lady who participated who had been heavily into New Age stuff. And as she sort of heard, you know, the Alpha teaching and the materials, watched the videos and all the rest of it, she felt captivated by Jesus. And she gave her life to Jesus. And the first thing that she did was to write on Facebook saying, the most amazing thing that's happened to me. In all the sort of studying of New Age things, I was looking for something spiritual. I've now found it. I found Jesus. All my friends, I need to say to you, you won't find the truth in the New Age stuff. The truth is in Jesus. She had well over 1,000 friends on her Facebook, in her Facebook contacts, and she's telling them all that the answer to their lives is Jesus. Those sort of things are destined to happen over and over again as we understand that God's put a spiritual hunger in many people, not in everybody, but in many people, and they will be looking for something and will have fresh opportunities. And this is fascinating too. That happens when we're locked down. But if that's how God acts when we're locked down, how much more does God want to act powerfully when we're liberated out of this period? There are conversations God wants us to have. There are blessings he wants us to bring. There's a witness he wants us to give. And there's powerful prayers he wants us to pray into people's lives. So we need to prepare ourselves for those blessings. And part of the thing God wants us to have is an expectation that, you know, today we're going to give ourselves to God afresh because we're going to see fresh blessings poured out. Third pointer is simply that we stop and listen. Verse 9 of this chapter, Joshua says to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. Basically saying, you may be excited about crossing over into the Jordan, but before you rush on, stop and listen. Now, there's one or two fascinating things in this story that I find, at least. For instance, this wasn't the first time they'd crossed a river to get where God was leading them. For the Exodus from Egypt, when they came into the wilderness, Moses stretched out his hand, standing on the bank, he stretched out his hand, and the waters divided, and they crossed over on dry ground. This is not what they have to do this time. For the entrance into the land and the crossing of Jordan, the priests had to go into the river. They had to go into the river Jordan. And, the story tells us, the river was in full flood because it was the harvest period. And it's always in full flood in the harvest. That's why that little phrase is introduced into the story. In other words, this wasn't the best time to cross the river. It was deeper than usual. It was more troublesome than usual, more difficult than usual. And this is the very time that God says, I want you to cross over the river. So here's the formula, if I can put it that way. Preparation, then steps of faith. So preparation is, Lord, we believe you want to do something new. We believe there are blessings you want to pour out anew into our lives. And then you walk into the river. Miracles happen when we confront the obstacles directly. These priests could not wait, like the first time when Moses did it, as it were, for the river to part. They had to step into the river and then it parted. Miracles happen when you confront the obstacle. Interesting enough, God said to Joshua in chapter 1, verse 3, every place you put your foot, I will give you. And I want to suggest to you that what God is calling us to as we step out of lockdown is that he wants us to step into new situations around us, testing out what God will do, because it's a new day. People have been through a difficult situation. Maybe they didn't want to talk before, but we're going to be amazed that they're going to want to talk now. It's a new day. It's a different phase. It's a different time. So the next point is 1, 2, 3, 4, is we're going to watch out for God's action. And that's verses 9 to 13, which I'm not going to read again. But God says to Joshua, and Joshua repeats it to the people, the priests are going to go in first, and this is how you're going to know that the living God is among you, and he'll certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, etc., etc. Now, and then he says, see, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. I want you to notice that phrase. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. The Lord of all the earth is going to do things in the Jordan. The Lord of all the earth is going to do new things in the Stroud Valleys. Just think what a difference it will make if the Lord of all the earth is acting in your neighborhood, where you live, that difficult area. And it's like God's saying to us, I want you to understand the presence of God is going to come into your district in a new way, come into your valley in a new way. It's something's going to change, and the water's going to stop flowing, it's going to pile up, miracles are going to happen. And although the priests went into the water, they're going to stand on terra firma. There's something that's going to happen which is different, because the Lord of all the earth is acting in the Jordan, and then everyone crosses over on dry ground. And it's almost as though God wants to say to us, watch for God's action. Things that are going to happen when the Lord of all the earth comes into, your life, your home, your neighbor's life, your neighbor's garden. You're going to have conversations you never had before. You're going to pray prayers you never prayed before. You're going to see doors open that you've never seen open before, because the Lord of all the earth is active down your street and in your valley, because it's a new day and we need to move forward into God's new day for us. Well, chapter 4 actually completes the story, and they're told to record God's goodness. When God does things, start to talk about it. Don't be silent about it. And I think one of the things that is going to happen, new things, is that we're going to hear stories of what God is doing in one place and another. And it's good to tell those stories. They're told to set up a pillar of 12 stones. So this is where the tribes crossed over. We saw it happen with our own eyes. And one of the things God wants us to do is to tell the stories of faith that record what God is doing. And I love that phrase where it says, he did this, so, and this is the end of chapter 4, I think it is. He says, he did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Let me just draw these things together in conclusion. Because God wants us to find a way out of lockdown, which is fruitful, which is like something we've not seen before. It's not going back to the same old things. It's a new day with people having more spiritual hunger, with us seeing the power of God displayed in new ways. So here's just the conclusion. Here we go. Number one, follow God's presence, but be prepared to walk off the map. I'd like to expand that, but I'm not going to. Second, prepare for God's blessing by consecrating ourselves today. Thirdly, it's time to move from pure grace to taking responsibility. There's something I mean by that. So this period of lockdown has been a time when you might feel we've not been able to do very much except meet God, meet one another, encourage one another, and so on. Just being a time of pure grace, feasting on God's encouragement and so on. Now we're going to take responsibility for what's happening around us. In the wilderness, God's people had experienced the provision of manna daily, water coming from the rock, healing when there was sickness and so on. They were going to cross over the Jordan, and then they were going to plow and plant and reap and harvest. It was a new day of taking responsibility. Fourthly, miracles happen when we confront obstacles. Don't live with no-go situations. If there are situations you feel are resistant, step into them with the power and presence of God and see God act in them. Because God is a God who does wonders in the most hostile of settings. Then celebrate God's action and communicate it to others. I'm going to pray with you that the next period will not be just sort of walking out into aimlessness, but walking out into fruitfulness. Can I just pray with you, and then you can follow up, Martin, as you want to follow up. Let's just pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have been a God who's walked with us through this last year, and you've fellowshipped with us in our homes, and you've encouraged us that you are the God who is with us. And you've helped us with all sorts of challenging situations personally, in our homes, in our families, with our friends, with people that we've had to care for. But you have been with us. It's been a special time. And we're very grateful. We thank you even for the technology that's helped us to keep fellowshipping together and encouraging one another. We're grateful for that. But Lord, we sense an easing now of our confinement, and we want to walk out not just into aimlessness or even our own personal pleasure, but into days of fruitfulness for you. So we pray that you'll lead us, you'll direct us, and that we'll follow the presence of God. and we'll see the fingerprints of God, and we'll open up conversations that we've never had before, and we'll step into challenging situations with the confidence that you are with us, because you walked through things with us this last year. You're the God who is with us, and you'll walk out with us in the future. We pray you'll help us to walk in faith and to walk with you and to be led by you and to see you bless people and friends of ours all around us, family members all around us, because we do want to see these days of harvest that you're promising. Thank you for 25% of the nation who prayed this last year. Lord, may they do more than just pray in desperation, we pray. May they find Jesus, who is the living Lord and Savior, who can transform their lives and with whom they can live in relationship. So we bless you. Thank you for being with us this morning. And I bless my brothers and sisters in Stroud, and I ask for special days of fruitfulness for them. In Jesus' name, amen.